Stephanie, would you call us to order?
William Gingold, David Happ, Cheryl Hanley Maxwell, Gail Kennedy, Deb Roush.
Here. I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda as presented. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the agenda is approved. Citizen input, public participation today.
Good morning, Dale Morrissey, Developmental Services Center. I was just speaking to some people up front there. Things are starting, you know, I don't know, it's like that stop and go, but things are starting to hop over in Springfield. I was on the phone last night for 20, 30 minutes with one of our local legislators, and I'm going to be leaving probably close to 9 o'clock because some of the leadership of IARF is going to go meet with some of those people today. And again, this all changes, you know, because one party, they get crossways, it looks like. So last night they were starting to cooperate. By this morning, we'll see if that's still happening. But what I'm hearing is that instead of looking at all the bills individually, they're talking about can we come to a compromise and collapse this together. So, you know, there's the bills like we don't get reimbursed for certain hours in nursing in Scylla. We don't get reimbursed for certain hours that if it's more than larger than a four-bed home, you don't get reimbursed for certain day hours. And those have all been put in different bills. Of course, there's the bill for the DSP wage, which is very, very important. It keeps it a $5 to $5.50 margin above whatever the minimum wage is, whether it's local, state, or federal. And those are all put together, and what I'm hearing as of last night is they're looking at saying, what can we put as a package just for the different disability groups, whether it's DDMI, alcohol and substance abuse, or whatever. And you know, that's sort of easy because one of the persons I was talking to last night was really concerned that day programs, which is significant. We know that each person we serve in day program, we lose about $4,000 if it's a state person on average. And so that's critical. And it was critical to this person because some of his providers just provide day programming. And so he was less concerned about Scylla. And so I think, again, some of the compromise they're talking about today is possibly lumping that together. Now, who knows what it'll be by tomorrow, but there are some of us going over there today to address that. And I just wanted to update you that at least we're being talked about. And that's a big thing with all the other stuff going on as far as revenues. You know, they still have to – I hear they're getting closer on the cannabis discussion and that type of stuff. And so they've got to establish those revenues. But now that at least they're starting to talk about the expense. That usually happens at the end. So we'll see. So I'd be happy to take any questions, but that's what I know at this point in time. And so when there's plenty of people from DSC when you get to talking about the specific programs to answer your questions if it's not addressed before I leave at 9 o'clock. Okay, thank you.
Hi there, Patty Walters at DSC. I know we have a full agenda and I didn't see when I scanned agency information specifically, so I just wanted to let you all know, because you were invested in it too, that we received notification that we did not get the respite NOFO, which is wildly disappointing. I don't know how many there were awarded yet. I was in Springfield yesterday afternoon and it was on the agenda, but they didn't really speak to it, just that they had made decisions. So the next step is they will award the grant letters to whomever received them, and then if they accept the grant, it gets posted then. So I think we're still a few days away from finding out who received the monies. I would suspect not Central Illinois, but I don't know that for sure. But I did want to thank Lynn drafted a letter on behalf of CCDDB and MHB. Deb Roush also did, and Regional Planning, the ISC, also submitted letters. So I just wanted to share that today. And the disappointment. So, thank you.
I'm wildly disappointed as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Becca Wachowski with Community Choices. Not to be the bearer of a second round of bad news, but I believe it was in the packet, but we had applied for a grant through the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities to do some additional work related to medical advocacy, and we were notified on May 9th, actually, unfortunately, that we did not get that grant. So they ended up giving it to sort of the University of Illinois at Chicago, a large provider in Chicago, and then an organization that does sort of, it seems like more in-depth behavioral and medical support sort of at locations across the country, EPIC. So we were very disappointed about this, but it does seem like they were looking for organizations that sort of had a slightly broader reach than our small, you know, there's nine of us. So it was a bit of a disappointment, but we're going to continue to kind of look at what we can do with sort of our local funding, and also just wanted to really thank the board for the support that you offered in terms of giving the matching funds for that grant. So it was a disappointment, but very appreciative of the continued support here.
Okay, next on the agenda is President's comments, and since we do have a full day, I'm going to just move on. Lynn?
I think that's a good look for me, too.
Okay. Okay, the board meeting minutes from the April 24th meeting are included in the packet. They're on pages, I want to make sure I get the right pages here, 3 through 5. Is there a motion? Discussion? Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes as presented in the packet?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes are approved. We have no financial report to act on today. Okay, new business. We have on pages 6 through 23 a group of responses to board questions that some mostly came out of information that was in the packet last year from reviewers and then questions that came up during last month's board meeting. So I would like to open that up just for discussion or comment if anybody has any. And then I guess, is this a good place to mention?
There's a request from UCP on our tables, and there are some copies of it down there, but I would say this doesn't add information beyond what's in these responses. It's just it's a different frame on the request, so we could hold this until the recommendations for funding.
Staff recommendations for FY 2020.
Wait, I have one comment. Sorry. I'd like to thank PACE for actually answering the question on the deficit.
Dr. Hanley Maxwell, what page is that?
That's on page 17. That's the only comment I have on that.
Okay, great. So beginning on pages 24 through 49, we have our staff recommendations for funding. And so shall we begin? In the past, this is a lot to read in the way of motions, so we have cycled through with each board member taking a turn and then cycling back around again. Does that work for everybody? Okay, the total requests begin on 24. We have a listing of the requests for the MHB also there. Okay, decision memorandum on 25.
What
and I think
page
we can.
Are you referencing? What page?
Well, actually, the recommendations themselves actually begin on page 33. So unless there's any discussion about or questions about our D memo with our list of priorities and so forth, prior to that, we can move on and start the process.
So given that there are a number of special provisions in here or some additional conditions, do we need to identify those or just go ahead with the motion?
That was a question I had for Lynn a couple of days ago, whether we needed to read through all of this and highlight those special provisions that will become a part of the contract negotiation. What say you, Lynn? Do we need to have room for discussion on these or read through them or just... A couple of things are being done differently this year that I wasn't sure if they needed to be made a part of each motion or not.
Well, because the wording in the motion itself says, as presented in the memorandum, I know this might add to the amount of time that it takes you to get through each decision, but I think that would be good to do. Not everything in a bullet point is a contract requirement. It's just the last few. So... just to be sure that it's clear that you're agreeing. If you're not agreeing, we can strike it or change it.
Okay. Dr. Bill, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I guess we do. What page is that motion?
33.
Okay, so, okay. All right. So he'll start reading.
So just to be clear, he'll start reading. He'll read the motion, and then we'll read the bullet points.
Yeah, you get a second, and then it's on the floor for board discussion.
And
if you want input from others, you ask for input. Otherwise, this is a board discussion.
Okay, so we read the motion, we second the motion, mm-hmm. We leave it for discussion and read.
Mm-hmm. And I can show you which ones are requirements.
Okay, all right.
A motion to approve funding of $424,738 for CCRPC for community services decision support / personnel-centered planning. As presented.
Second. Discussion. Okay. I guess the highlights of this particular application are that because it includes a new component, the program will report on progress at mid-year. A special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with providers of similar and related services to minimize duplication of effort and move toward conflict-free case management, especially for people with no state-funded services. And a special provision will be included to work directly with other case management programs toward the best interests of people served. Transition specialists will coordinate with PACE self-advocacy program on behalf of people with ISBE funding. These collaborative efforts will be captured in service activity report comments section each quarter. Is there any discussion coming
up?
I'd like
to maybe make a couple of comments. Recently attended an ARC conference, and one of the presentations was on the role of ISCs. I think that's an acronym. I keep on losing them in my mind. One of the things that seemed to be is that they have more responsibilities than I think currently our independent case management services provide, especially when it comes to recertification. And I included a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that was made by an extremely knowledgeable individual in that area. And I wonder if maybe in coordination with the Regional Planning Commission, we can encourage them to kind of explore that a little closer in terms of their roles and responsibilities and also call to the attention of other care management entities in the respective funded agencies to also take a look at that and see how independent, or they can become more independent in their case management responsibilities and planning.
When you talk about recertification responsibility, recertification exactly of agency recertification,
Medicaid,
or
individuals.
The individuals in,
yes.
As far as recertification. How often does recertification happen? Does anybody really have an answer to that? How often that's required or is undertaken?
I would say annually, but I don't know that that's true in every case.
And so for each individual that's Medicaid waivered at DSC, what does that process look like for you?
Well, I know there's two. Sorry, is
identify okay. yourself.
Oh, I'm Heather Levingston from DSC. I know ISC does eligibility for Medicaid annually, and then also each individual that has Medicaid has a redetermination. It's just checking on their rent, their assets, so it's, you know, a couple-page form that's filled out each year to make sure they're still eligible for Medicaid.
Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
The motion on the table is to approve funding of $424,738 for CCRPC Community Services Decision Support Person-Centered Planning as presented. We need a roll call.
Sure.
So I'm aware of the issue that you brought up through a different means. I think the state is trying to answer the question of which ISCs are doing that. Is that right? Didn't we just get a bulletin a couple days ago saying the state is working on trying to figure out who's doing, of the ISCs, who's doing recertification or redeterminations? So do you feel comfortable that this issue is covered in the last special provision where it's working directly with other case management programs toward the best interest of people?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Stephanie, call roll.
William Gingold.
Yes.
David Happ.
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell.
Approved.
Gail Kennedy.
Approved.
Deb Roush.
Approved. Motion is presented. Is approved as presented.
Next motion is on DSC service coordination. The motion is to approve funding of $423,163 for DSC service coordination as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Second.
Okay, some of the salient narratives associated with this contract will be to include a special provision to ensure collaboration with similar related programs to improve coordination, minimize duplication of effort, and access available resources. As another program takes on more person-centered planning, there's been a lot of discussion about this, and coordination for people who lack state funding, the program will increasingly identify service activities which address needs not otherwise met, such as intensive case management, direct support, and respite. The contract will require quarterly reports on the transition away from activities sensitive to risk of conflict of interest, and funding may be directed to IFS or other programs as consumer needs are identified and with approval by the CCDDB. The monthly personnel change reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues. Okay. Is there other discussion? Questions? So the motion on the table is to approve funding for $423,163 for DSC service coordination. Stephanie?
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Yes.
Gail Kennedy?
Yes.
William Gingold?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
The next item is Rosecrans Central Illinois Coordination of Services, DDMI. The request is for $35,150. The motion to approve funding of $35,150 for Rosecrans Central Illinois Coordination of Services, DDMI, as presented in this memorandum.
Second. Okay. Discussion. I just will read that the contract will include a special provision to ensure collaboration with related programs to improve coordination, minimize duplication of effort, and access all available resources. This is pretty standard. As another organization takes on more of the person-centered planning and coordination responsibilities for people with no state funding, this program will increasingly identify service activities which address needs not otherwise met, such as intensive case management, direct support, counseling, psychiatry. The contract will require quarterly reports on the transition away from activities sensitive to risk of conflict of interest. Is there discussion or questions?
I just a question. I see the term good quality applications, and some I see application of high quality. I'm trying to get a feel what that means.
We're trying to say if an application was really responsive to the to what the questions in the application, or sort of, or not. Just, it's just a detail. It's not requiring anyone to
just
fix
the visceral.
Right. This is because we spend a lot of time evaluating them and don't really tell you, you know, which really were like knocking it out of the park. But some of them did. So I thought it might be nice to let you know what we think of the quality of the answers.
I didn't see any knocking out of the ballpark.
I think there's a high quality in there.
Thanks.
I especially like to see an application that has measurable outcomes. Your goals, objectives, measurable, you know, outcomes for individuals. The motion is to approve funding of $35,150 for Rosecrans Central Illinois Coordination of Services. Stephanie?
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approve.
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Approve.
Deb Rouge?
Approved.
The next request is from Community Choices for Customized Employment. The request is for $98,900. Is there a motion to approve funding of $98,900 for Community Choices Customized Employment, as presented in this memorandum? And again, there's a special provision that will be included to ensure collaboration with other employment service providers to minimize duplication of effort and maximize outcomes.
Second.
Okay. If Illinois funds a customized employment project, the agency should apply as a pilot site and shift from local to state support, and a special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with other employment service providers to minimize duplication of effort and maximize outcomes. Is there other discussion or questions, comments related to that? Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $98,900 for Community Choices Customized Employment. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Approve.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approve.
Deb Rouge?
Approved.
microphone back the other way? Okay. This is for DSC Community Employment. The request is for $361,370. The motion is to approve funding of The motion to approve funding of $361,370 for DSC Community Employment as presented in this memorandum.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Okay, highlights of this are that
there's quite a lot, actually, without reading through all of them.
That there are stronger measurable consumer outcomes in need of being developed. Due to excess revenue and underutilization in recent years, TPC and SC targets should be increased for this contract year, and efforts made to offer continuation of job supports for people previously served by another DDB-funded employment program. A special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with other employment service providers to minimize duplication of effort and maximize outcomes. Explore the use of technology to increase TPC's independence in their work. And monthly personnel change reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues of note. So again, any other further discussion, questions, comments about any of that?
I have a question. One of the items indicates consumer outcomes should be developed. Should it say will be developed? I'm just asking.
That is a really weak word. And I think that we meant it as a weak word because I don't know that the agency can do this without some support. And so there's two things in here where I really didn't think about this. There's like future decisions that the DD board might make that would make these things possible. So if the DD board wanted to contract with someone to work on outcomes in the way that the mental health board has done, then this would make more sense. But I don't know if they can work on this without support. They do have an accreditor, which does really great work in this area. So I left a weak word there because there are maybe two ways they could get that done, but we weren't thinking about timelines or exactly how to meet that requirement. And then the second one presumes that you might not be funding another community employment program, and that's not a decision you've made yet. So I think this requires rewording.
I would encourage that. Rather than should, I would suggest that, if nothing else, attempt to initiate.
Okay.
Even if it's their own ideas without, outside consultants.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
That's my opinion.
So we have to modify the motion, right?
We have to.
Well, you have a motion on the table, so we're halfway there.
Okay.
Getting the right words.
Mm-hmm. So, would it be to motion to approve funding with a stipulation that consumer outcomes will be developed? So, Dr. Hanley Maxwell, you made the motion. Do you want to?
Do you want me to make the words? No, I like the words you used.
Okay, so the motion has now been modified.
It's all second, or, and I motioned, so I can't second.
Okay.
I can second then. Second.
Okay, so let me read the motion then. The motion is to approve funding of $361,370 for DSD Community Employment, with the stipulation that measurable consumer outcomes will be developed as part of this program. Stephanie?
William Gingold?
Approved.
David Happ?
Approved.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
Deb Roush?
Approved. Okay, the next One is DSC Community Choices Employment First. The request is for $80,000. I'd like to make a motion to approve funding of $80,000 for DSC Community Choices Employment First as presented in this memorandum. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We'll open it for discussion, but I will just read that. This one, basically, the salient feature is that monthly personal change reports will be required. No other reporting or employment, no other reporting or compliance issues. Is there discussion or other questions?
I have a question. What does transform services mean here?
This Employment First initiative was launched when Illinois became an Employment First state, which means that community employment is the first offer of service for people with disabilities in the state of Illinois. So the state itself has not really made a lot of progress in the transformation. So the transformation is from a system which offers first workshop or day programming instead of independent or competitive community employment as an option.
Thank you.
A lot of this, really the bulk of this, if not all of this effort, has been centered on reducing stigma, connecting with businesses, actually trying to help individuals' families understand the benefits of community employment versus traditional day programming. Okay, any other comments? Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $80,000 for DSC Community Choices Employment First.
Second.
Sorry. That's okay. Stephanie?
David Happ?
Approved.
Cheryl Hanley-Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Approved.
Deb Rouge?
Approved.
And the next is for United Cerebral Palsy, Land of Lincoln Vocational Services. The request is for $60,000. The motion is to deny funding for $60,000 for United Cerebral Palsy, Land of Lincoln Vocational Services as presented in this memorandum.
Second. Discussion.
I would like to propose that we defer the decision on this to give UCP time to get into compliance.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions?
In reviewing their memorandum to the board, I'd like to, if we proceed in any way to consider funding for this, is that we consider a test on a fee-for-service option with them.
Withdraw my deferral request. I think because these are incompatible to defer and then to do what you're suggesting.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, I was deferring the decision completely, but you were suggesting that we go forward with a fee-for-service.
Oh, that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah. Well, we still have a compliance issue, do we not? So I think that to me the deferral makes sense so that we can give them time to deal with compliance. They've stipulated in their narrative here that they are appointing a Champaign County board member, that they're going to make efforts, I think, within the week, did I read correctly, to have all of their reporting requirements taken care of. There are a lot of good things about this application, the fact that they really do seem to provide good quality, measurable consumer outcomes are included in their application. It's just that they haven't really been a presence in Champaign County, and for reasons not completely understood, have failed to comply with their audit requests and so forth. So, to me, it might not be a bad idea to consider fee for service after we defer the decision, if that.
Okay.
Does anybody have any other questions or comments about that option?
I guess the question, when can they come back then for the board to be reconsidered? I'm having trouble understanding the timeline here.
They could come back as early as your next meeting. You can also call special meetings, for especially if there's a single decision to be made. So in my opinion, your next meeting is June 26th, which is quite a while, but it's possible that they would have resolved all of the contract compliance issues by that time, and that we could develop a single decision memo for you to consider by June 26th.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so let me make sure I have this wording correct. The motion then becomes to defer funding of $60,000, decision?
Deferring the decision.
Yeah. For funding for United Cerebral Palsy, Land of Lincoln Vocational Services?
Well, Dr. Kennedy made that motion.
Well, okay. So.
So we have to, we have to deny the denial and then make the motion to defer. I think that's how we have to do
it. Okay.
Because we're not modifying the motion. Well, we are modifying the motion.
Stephanie?
It's up to Dr. Kennedy if she wants to modify her motion.
Yes, I want to modify my motion.
Good job.
Rapid decision making. So we will modify the motion to read the motion to defer a decision on funding for United Cerebral Palsy, Land of Lincoln Vocational Services at this time until...
Give them time to get the compliance.
Until given more information to proceed on this decision.
Second.
Discussion. Stephanie?
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley-Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Yes.
Deb Rouch?
Yes. Okay, so the motion is to defer decision regarding funding.
DSC Apartment Services for the request of $442,757. Motion to approve funding of $442,000. Those are big numbers for me, but $442,757 for DSC Apartment Services as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Discussion. As in most of these, a special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with similar programs and coordination with conflict-free case management for person-centered plans, and the monthly personnel change reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues.
Just a question. Has DSC received any kind of notification from the Housing Authority in terms of available units? Thank you.
Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $442,757 for DSC Apartment Services as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley-Maxwell?
Approved.
Deb Rouch?
Yes.
The next is for DSC Clinical Services, This is a motion to approve funding of $174,000 for DSC clinical services as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Okay. Some special provisions that have been noted are that the efforts should be demonstrated in the comments sections of quarterly service activity reports, and monthly personnel change reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues. Timely personnel reports should include information on all subcontracts. Any other comments, questions?
I have a comment. Okay. I like their term, buffered. It's something that you don't see very often.
Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $174,000 for DSC clinical services as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Approved.
Deb Roush?
Approved. Okay, the next motion is DSC. It's Community First, formerly Integrated and Site-Based Services. The request is for $882,970. $822,970. Okay. So the motion is to approve funding of $822,970 for a one-year term for DSC Community First as presented in this memorandum. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. There's a lot to read here, but I'm going to start here. In order for a person to participate as a TPC, there should be a person-centered plan developed by the conflict-free case management provider, and maybe that should say will, which clarifies those specific service needs and preferences to be addressed in this program. And because the state rate for community day services is understood to be inadequate, a higher per-person cost is associated with this program, with performance benchmarks for each quarter, a six-month minimum of 17,000 total service hours, and subsequent quarterly minimum of 8,500 total service hours associated with qualifying TPCs, a minimum of 60%, 10,200 and 5,100 of those service hours in direct contact with TPCs, and a minimum of 50%, 5,100 and 2,550 of these direct contact service hours delivered in community settings. If these benchmarks are not met during a quarter, the following quarter's payments will be prorated. Fourth quarter data will inform the final payment. Questions, comments?
Just curious, how did these numbers come about to begin with?
We took the average of the hours that the program was serving people from current year. Last year, the benchmark was 8,000 hours. Consistently, they have been meeting 8,000, going over the 8,000 hours. So in an effort to increase the number of people served and the number of hours served, we bumped it up.
Okay, thank you.
It's more money. Yeah.
It's more money.
Yep. Yeah, and also it's more money, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $822,970 for a one-year term for DSC Community First as presented in this memorandum. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Okay, the next item is DSC Connections with a request for $85,000. The motion is to approve funding of $85,000 for DSC Connections as presented in this memorandum.
Second. For people participating in this program, while also in other funded programs, interests and preferences addressed by the program should be demonstrated in the person's person-centered plan. Application should be revised to increase public use of the location through special events or activities which include people with IDD. That would be great. Monthly personnel changes reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues. Any other questions, comments, discussion?
Again, I kind of impressed with the terminology aspirational.
Seems aspirational to me. It's, you know, it's just stepping out, getting people out, you know, people that belong in the community and don't have enough access to it.
I agree.
It is. Yep. Okay. So again, the motion is to approve funding of $85,000 for DSC Connections as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
The next request is from DSC for individual and family support. The request is for $416,561. I make a motion to approve funding of $416,561 for DSC individual and family support as presented in this memorandum.
Second?
Second.
Okay, the salient feature of this narrative is that this would be a wonderful program to expand. So really the wording, it just says that they should consider expansion of program capacity for intermittent direct support. There's certainly a need. And obviously we know now that the state funding for respite is not coming our way, unfortunately. So this program, the agency has applied for state funding for respite. It's been denied. This program does well with people in need of higher levels of care than respite typically offers. Monthly personnel change reports will be required. No other reporting or compliance issues. Questions, discussion, comments? Okay, so the motion again on the table is to approve funding of $416,561 for DSC individual and family support as presented in this memorandum. Stephanie?
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Approved.
David Happ?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
You just want to be different from everybody else, don't you? It's much shorter. The next item is persons assuming control of their environment PACE, consumer control and personal support. The motion is to approve funding of $23,721 for persons assuming control of their environment PACE, consumer control and personal support as presented in this memorandum.
Is there a second?
Second.
This program is one that we plan to implement a fee-for-service contract with a rate for completed training of personal support workers and payment per successful referral. In other words, that it leads to personal service worker service for individuals from RPC ISC of PUNS enrolled individuals. Discussion, questions? So again, the motion is to approve funding of $23,721 for PACE, consumer control and personal support as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Approve.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Deb Rouge?
Yes. Okay, we're moving into a new priority here. We're under this priority is comprehensive services and supports for young children. There are two applications from two organizations totaling $691,152. The first application is from Champaign County Head Start, Early Head Start, Social Emotional Disability Services. The request is for $112,004. I'll read the motion, or I'll make a motion. I make a motion to approve partial funding of $24,402 for Champaign County Head Start, Early Head Start, Social Emotional Disability Services as presented in this memorandum. Importantly, by agreement, the Champaign County Mental Health Board will provide partial funding of $87,602 for this program. Is there a second?
Second.
Will the Mental Health Board be acting on this soon?
Tonight.
Okay. So okay. It's a request contingent on the Mental Health Board approving the other portion?
I think so. If maybe we need to change the wording to make them both contingent, this one and the next one.
That's right.
Just in case. And then if the Mental Health Board does not agree to fund that portion, either in whole or in part, we might bring you another decision in June to consider.
So we would then modify this?
I think using your word contingent, I think makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really... The Mental Health Board discussed these two programs last week and seemed inclined to vote for them, but because they haven't, and they have a right to do that, we should add contingent. Okay.
So can I modify my motion without making a motion to modify my motion? What say you, Stephanie?
Where's Roberts when you need him?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, so the motion is to approve partial funding of $24,402 for Champaign County Head Start, Early Head Start, Social Emotional Disability Services as presented in this memorandum, contingent upon the Champaign County Mental Health Board providing partial funding of $87,602 for this program. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Stephanie?
William Gingold?
Approved.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
Deb Roush?
Approved.
This is a motion on DSC Family Development Services Center request for $579,148. A motion is to deny funding of $579,148 for DSC Family Developmental Center as presented in this memorandum, contingent on the Champaign County Mental Health Board providing funding of $579,148 for this program.
Second.
Okay. All right. Is there discussion? Okay. I'll just make a note that as special provision will require continued collaboration with other early childhood programs to avoid duplication of effort, maximize positive outcomes for children and families, and inform the boards of service gaps.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What are the ages of the kids that are served in this program? Zero to five? Mm-hmm. How does that interface with the public schools?
Could you turn on your microphone? There's a little button right in the center of it, down at the bottom.
No, down
keep
at the bottom.
Moving down.
It'll turn red.
Gotcha. Okay. Nicole Sikora, the director of the Family Development Center. We primarily serve 0 to 5 with some exceptions for children before they get to the early childhood setting. Generally, once they enter school, then
that's how we interface, is upon admission to school. And then we'll do some transition meetings. And then once they're in the school system, then they're in the school system. Does that make sense? Yes, they do, but some carry on from the 3 to 5 with the play project for the autism. And so that's kind of giving them the parent tools to reach their child. Right. Otherwise, they transition to the school and work with the developmental therapist and the occupational therapist in the school setting.
What percentage of the number of children that you serve are under the age of 3?
I don't know that number off the top of my head. I would have to look into that.
More than 90%. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Any other comments? Dr. Kennedy, would you read your motion again so that we're clear about what's on the table?
I will try. This is a motion to deny funding for $579,148 for DSC Family Developmental Center as presented in this memorandum, contingent upon the Champaign County Mental Health Board providing funding of $579,148 for this program.
Stephanie?
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell.
Approved.
Gail Kennedy.
Approved.
William Gingold.
Approved.
David Happ.
Approved.
Deb Rouge.
Approved. Okay, the next application is CU Able. I'd like to make a motion to approve funding of $17,275 for CU Able community outreach as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
There is a question for the agency, which kind of came up at the last meeting. If the organization is willing, contract could be increased by up to $2,000 to compile an extensive list of free or inexpensive resources beyond funded programs and benefits to be used by case managers, service providers, and transition specialists and teams. The other salient feature is year-end report regarding social media participation and members' service preferences will be required to support CDB-DDB planning. Mm-hmm. Any questions, discussion? Nothing else? Okay, again, the motion is to approve funding of $17,275 for CU Able community outreach as presented in this memorandum. Stephanie?
William Gingold?
Approved.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
Deb Rouge?
Approved.
The next item is the Champaign County Down Syndrome Network, CCC Down Syndrome Network. The request is for $15,000. The motion is to approve funding of $15,000 for the Champaign County Down Syndrome Network, CC Down Syndrome Network, as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Application should be revised and outcomes and CLC plan developed with technical assistance from CCDDB staff. This program collaborates with other support networks and service providers. And year-end report regarding member services preferences will support CDDB planning. I think that should be a requirement of them. Yeah. Any other discussion, questions? So again, the motion is to approve funding of $15,000 for Champaign County Down Syndrome Network, CC Down Syndrome Network, as presented in this memorandum. Stephanie?
David Happ? Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes.
The next request is from Community Choices for self-determination support in the amount of $138,000. I make a motion to approve funding of $138,000 for Community Choices self-determination support as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
All right, a special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with similar or related programs to improve coordination, minimize duplication of effort, and maximize outcomes. And then, of course, you know, the potential grant from ICDD did not come through, so the original requested amount is not adjusted. The effort to secure other funding is appreciated. Can you speak on that briefly so that I get, so I understand this correctly? If they had received the grant money from ICDD, we would have lowered the request to $119,000. Is that correct? Okay, I wanted to make sure I had the numbers correct. Is there any other discussion, comments, questions about this? Okay, so again, the motion is to approve funding of $138,000 for Community Choices self-determination support as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Yes.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Deb Roos?
Yes.
The next item is the motion to approve funding of $55,640 for persons assuming control of their environment PACE, Opportunities for Independence. I guess I just read the whole motion, then the title, as approved in this memorandum.
Second.
Okay, an important feature of this request this year is that we will implement a fee for service contract structure with an event rate for groups or community presentations and an hourly rate for transportation, direct support to individuals, coordination with other providers, and reporting. And the contract will include a special provision to ensure collaboration with similar or related programs to improve coordination, minimize duplication of effort, and access all available resources. As another organization takes on more of the person-centered planning and coordination responsibilities for people with no state funding, this program will increasingly identify service activities which address needs not otherwise met, such as intensive case management and direct support, underline direct. Program will also be required to coordinate with CCRPC transition specialists regarding support for those in ISBE-funded services. The contract will require quarterly reports on the shift away from activities sensitive to risk of conflict of interest and on the coordination with CCRPC. Did I not read that about? I think I read fee for service, right? Yeah. Okay.
Is a representative from that organization here?
Yes, I do believe so. I saw Jermaine. Yes, he is here.
Do you currently have any type of fee for services in your organization, or is this brand new? Does the organization feel pretty comfortable with your current fee-for-service structure?
No, in fact, I was probably going to approach the meeting afterwards and see if there's a way to get into this special meeting to talk about both of the programs.
Thank you.
It is typical for us to do contract negotiation meetings. The purpose of sharing with you what we expected some of the requirements to be was to have as open an agreement as possible. If the board would like to modify the motion to include a contract negotiation on this issue, I'm happy to do that. This program has been underutilized for a few years, and it's really sensitive to the, you know, it's one person, and it's really sensitive to loss of service if that person is not able to perform the duties. So we wanted to put it into a fee-for-service structure to protect against overpaying, which is our situation every year, that we're overpaying. We can certainly continue to overpay and then capture the revenue, the excess revenue at the end of the year. But as you can see, we've had trouble this year with audits being late, then later than the extension deadline. And then we're in a position where it's very difficult for us to evaluate the excess revenue position and the financial health of an agency, because we're not able even to look at that stuff until we're already reviewing the next round of applications. So my intention with fee-for-service for these two contracts was to protect against the first of those. But if you want to make it a negotiation, we can absolutely do that. That's normal.
No, I was just trying to understand.
Yeah.
So I'm not willing to modify my motion.
We have an idea for what would be a fair fee based on your targets and based on state rates for each of these categories. So we think that we can make the program whole as long as the services are delivered.
In reality, too, after the negotiation, if there was something significantly different, it could come back to the board for approval, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. So again, Dr. Hanley Maxwell's motion was to approve funding of $55,640 for persons assuming control of their environment, PACE, Opportunities for Independence, as presented. Stephanie?
William Gingold?
Yes.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
Deb Rouge?
Yes. Okay, so under our last priority addressed is an application for expansion of an application from Community Choice that's related to expansion of independent community residential opportunities. The application is Community Choice's Community Living. The request is for $81,000. I'd like to make a motion to approve funding of $81,000 for Community Choice's Community Living as presented in this memorandum.
Second.
Is there discussion, questions?
Question. There is a unique phased and two-year curriculum. I assume the curriculum is starting when funding starts, or is that assumed that it will continue for at least 2 years?
So you continually have people cycling kind of through the two-year period, right? So it may not coincide directly with the date that funding is obtained. Is that your question, Dr. Gingold?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the two-year curriculum is.
So the curriculum is essentially the phases, and it's personalized for the individual. So it's basically, it's a process that we use when somebody comes to us looking to move out of their family home or to looking to move into a more independent living situation. So the curriculum isn't, you know, in the classic sort of school curriculum where everybody comes in end of August and goes through the process. It's based on when the individual begins services with us. And it starts with about 6 months of planning, and this can vary somewhat from person to person, and then kind of getting the person ready to move out, finding somewhere for them to live, and the start of the sort of move-out phase is triggered when the person actually moves out. So occasionally things will happen where somebody moves, it takes them a little bit longer or a little bit shorter, in which case that timeline is adjusted somewhat. Does that answer your question?
So it's a timeline with different stages. Is
correct.
That what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
I want to make a note that a special provision will be included to ensure collaboration with similar and related programs and coordination with conflict-free case management provider for person-centered plans for each of the program's participants. Okay, again, the motion on the table is to approve funding of $81,000 for Community Choices Incorporated Community Living as presented in the memorandum. Stephanie?
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
William Gingold?
Yes.
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Deb Roosh?
Yes.
The next motion is to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the special notification concerning PY20 awards section of this memorandum.
Second. Discussion, questions?
Can you explain that a little more to us?
I'll let Lynn speak to that.
This is where I need to be really sensitive to your body language about when it's time for me to stop talking. And it's also a segue into the next decision that we're bringing to you for consideration, that we do not have a clear picture about our 2020 revenues. We also don't have a clear picture about our 2019 revenues. I did hear, a lot of what I know right now about our budget, I'm very uncomfortable with because it's based on comments in the hallway from county staff, people who may or may not understand the art of tax extension and the rules around tax extension. But it appears that the DDB has hit its cap, and so this year we'll have $40,000 less than we expected to. But for 3 years, we've had some input. Chris wasn't officially with us for the first year of that, and then a county staff person, all three underestimating revenues. So you're in an okay position to lose that $40,000, and I really don't know what else we'll get. But there is a really dire scenario in which there is not enough revenue in the end to support all the contracts. And at that point, we've been through that once before, where we simply reduced all the contracts by 2.5% in order to make the arrangements affordable. And that actually, people lost their jobs. Two really creative programs disappeared, and they've not been able to be restored. So it's even that is a really bad scenario, but there could be worse scenarios. So this is all to say that if we find ourselves in that position, I will need to reduce some contract maximums in order to make the payments. And so it would, if it happened, I think it would actually be really worthy of a board discussion, but I would need to start preparing that. So this is a worst case scenario clause, and I really don't think I would implement it without at least working with the board president.
Thank you.
Okay, so again, the motion is to authorize executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the special notification concerning PY20 awards section of this memorandum. Stephanie?
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Yes.
Deb Roosh?
Yes. Whew. Okay. Yay. We are.
Page 50.
Okay, moving on to some other money matters. On pages 50 and 51, there's a D memo regarding the first tax distribution delay, which Lynn kind of touched on briefly.
There's so much going on, and I think that for the first time in a long time, there are a lot of eyes on the on how the taxes are calculated and collected and then the extensions, so that's good. But at the very last day that exemption requests could be filed, two large property tax holders filed for exemption from taxes. So the county clerk wasn't able to put together the full set of tax exemptions to send to the was it Division of Revenue Services or Department of Revenue Services at the state? Is that right? And so once it got there, then there was it was queued up along with all the other requests from all over the state. And so some communities were a little bit later in getting their multiplier, which sets the tax rate for the community. So some got them on time. We didn't get the multiplier first. We got it sort of late and then came back here, and there was still some more work to be done to figure out about special funds especially. So the tax bills have not gone out yet. They would normally have gone out in early May. They will go out on May 28th, and then people have 30 days to pay. So your first tax distribution will not be at the end of May as it has been for many years. It will be at the earliest at the end of June. All of our contracts with agencies are structured to avoid paying out during this period because we get as close to zero with the funds as we ever get, because the first payment of the year doesn't occur until late May, and in this case, late June. So the agencies don't get a payment in May. They get their May payment in June. Well, this time, we won't have enough money to make that payment, that set of payments for all of the agencies. So we are proposing a solution. You will use what is available in your fund balance to get close. I think we estimated before that it was within $55,000 of the total obligations for the month of June. Does that still seem right to you? Okay. So, and that uses up the fund balance that you have in the bank. And then you're at zero, and we need about $55,000 more, maybe more than that. So the Mental Health Board has a healthier fund balance. They have the fund balance recommendation that you're all working with is to have 6 months of operating costs available. And the Mental Health Board is there plus. So they have enough money for us to do a transfer, like a loan, from the Mental Health Board to the DD Board. And then as soon as the first tax revenue hits this account, we'll move it back to the Mental Health Board.
So we need a motion. So would somebody like to make a motion?
Sure. Motion to authorize an internal transfer from the CCMHB fund to the CCDDB fund in the event that the delayed tax distribution results in a shortfall in the CCDDB fund, in an amount sufficient to cover the shortfall and not to exceed $100,000. If this interfund transfer is made, an equal amount will be transferred from the CCDDB fund to the CCMHB fund after the tax distribution occurs.
Second.
Discussion.
Question again, do we need to have it be contingent since the Mental Health Board has to act on it?
So, well,
we have an intergovernmental agreement with the CCMHB, so I think that we would have to proceed with whatever language is in our intergovernmental agreement, right? Is that?
I think this is a little bit outside of the agreement. This is not something we've anticipated, and I think that we should anticipate this in the future. Right, because the things that happened to cause this were outside of the county's control, and therefore could happen again. So I think it doesn't hurt to add contingent on CCMHB.
What's contingent, though? This is saying that we're authorizing if they will do it. We're authorizing
okay.
the.
So it's implied anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you actually have if this interfund transfer is made.
My question is if this is made and then we have to pay $100,000 back, how does that affect the budget for the next year? Are we down $100,000 for FY20?
Well, yes. But I think we are operating. By this time last year, this time of year last year and the year before, we would have been talking about pennies in our projected budget for 2020, but we do not have any information. So you're right, it would be. But what you've just voted on is all affordable within that scenario. We won't get guidance on administrative costs until the middle of June. We really won't know about revenue until November or December. So I think that if we have overcommitted to agency funding this year, we can afford it. But the position that you might be in this time next year is that you don't have as much money to put into agency contracts as this year. But that's never happened before, but it could. That would be the way to right-size it if that moving that 100,000. I mean, we have to pay these contracts anyway, and it is budgeted for 2019, so we're within the parameters that we expected. But like I said, we're getting 40,000 less than we expected already, but I still think it's okay. And I think we will know better by June 26th. We may not have proposed budgets for you then, but we should have a little bit more clarity about what we need. And we still won't have the first tax deposit. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think the treasurer can tell us at some point what to expect that first deposit to be, but we don't know yet, right?
So under normal conditions, we would have had the money in the bank.
It'd be coming.
I guess my question is, why are we even making this motion since the authorization for the interfund transfer has to come from the mental health board?
I think you have to accept it. I think you have to be agreeing to that. I mean, you have the right to accept revenue or refuse
it. Okay, so that should be our motion, is if the mental health board authorizes an interfund transfer, that we accept conditions for that transfer.
I guess I'm thinking about it as in the way that your budget is expressed. You decide how much is transferred from one board to the other under what conditions. I mean, I'm thinking like you would be ceding your authority over your budget. Is it? I mean, maybe I'm thinking about it wrong.
Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. I might. Okay.
Do you all want to discuss anything?
Motion to authorize an interfund transfer from the CCMHB fund to the CCDDB fund in the event that the delayed tax distribution results in a shortfall in the CCDDB fund in an amount sufficient to cover the shortfall and not to exceed $100,000. If this interfund transfer is made, an equal amount will be transferred from the CCDDB fund to the CCMHB fund after the tax distribution occurs.
Stephanie?
David Happ?
Yes.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell?
Approved.
Gail Kennedy?
Approved.
William Gingold?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Approved.
So in the event that the Mental Health Board does not approve this arrangement, the other, you know, last year with the decision memos, Board agreed to give me the authority to implement contract maximum reductions. But I think we would we're paying for services that are being delivered. So I think what would happen is we would try to find out from the agencies where the least harm would be caused by further delaying a payment or payments equal to $55,000 or whatever our shortfall happens to be. So that's a fallback strategy, but I'm not very comfortable with it because I don't think the agencies are, you know, they're performing the services and we have obligated to pay for them. So. There's also a question in other rooms about whether you have too much money, that this fund has too much money and that there are not enough people needing these services to warrant this large of a fund. So there's a little bit of discussion about reducing the fund. Just wanted to let the people most closely involved with the work know that.
Can I just ask a question on that? In terms of the numbers that are being served by the agencies that we fund, how does it relate to prevalence and incidence figures for the county in terms of the populations that we're talking about?
Is there a question behind your question?
Yeah. In other words, are we serving all of the people that basically are in the county?
So there's, you know, you're under a very sort of stringent definition of developmental disabilities under this act, but the act changed on January 1st. So you could, as a local board, change your own definition of developmental disabilities. But right now, it stands as equal to the definition that the state of Illinois uses. Therefore, everybody who receives a service with this money is required to have the same eligibility process, right, and determination as if they were for state funding. So we know who's eligible. And if they're not on the list, then they haven't presented themselves for an eligibility determination. So that doesn't mean we're not missing people. We could be missing people who have not presented themselves. We could be missing people who might be eligible under a different definition of DD. Right? Am I answering it right?
And there also are the waiting lists.
Because your prevalence statistics come from different entities than the Department of Human Services. They might come from education or CDC. You know, so they would be using a different definition of DD.
I guess I'm really fishing. If we take Champaign County and say, what is the incidence and prevalence of IDD individuals by maybe age cohort as an example? So let's say preschool versus school versus post-school, and compare that to the actual numbers that are being served. What would be the variance between the two?
I guess my point is that we would have to have a source of prevalence data which uses the same definition as our person served requirement. Mm-hmm. Does that
exist? No. And I think part of the problem is eligibility under schools is different than eligibility under adult services. So the prevalence for school services is going to be a different prevalence than what's for adult services.
I recognize that, but what I guess I'm saying is if we can segment it by age cohort, use the age cohort of preschoolers, age cohort of school-age kids, and the age cohort of adults, what would be the prevalence and the incidence numbers that are available that we could look at and compare to the level of services that we're providing in terms of just numbers?
You also have a statutory, I can't remember the word. We can't use this money to provide services which would be available through the schools. So we better find a really low number of those people in our cohort.
I think what Bill's asking for, though, is, let me see if I can interpret this. I think you're worried that we are underserving as opposed to overserving.
Yes.
And that those incidence figures, those incidence and prevalence figures, would in fact help us determine whether or not we are underserving.
Correct.
So in the argument with the board members that have particular opinions about whether or not we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, those figures would be helpful. I mean, I think we could do this. We might have done it in the needs assessment last year, but we could sort of zoom in. We know we can give you a really reliable figure about people who are eligible and not getting services because the RPC should be able to provide that information for us. And I think what you're saying about per age might be throwing me off a little bit, but that's absolutely possible too. And then we would, after that, have to accept some different definitions, which would blur the data, but if we zoom way out and use national statistics or state statistics, the blur is less relevant. And we could do that. Kind of fun project.
All I'm suggesting is there data that can help us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think adding to that, and not to belabor the point, is although we're serving those numbers, there's a group of people around those numbers that are also impacted by the funds that we're using, the parents of children, the other services that support those children and adults who, if this money was not available, would be significantly impacted by that. And you know, if we have to put this together, that's another group that we have to estimate.
Good.
Kind of reminds me of Child Find for 94-142 all those many years ago. And I remember going out and going to school districts and churches and grocery stores looking for kids.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, we have a board member report today. Dr. Gingold attended the Arc of Illinois 2019 Annual Convention last month, and he has provided an overview. Would you like to speak on it? Comments? Okay, all right. No specific comments? Okay, thank you for it. It was very helpful. Good information.
There was a recommendation in there, though. Highly recommended.
There were a couple of recommendations. I would suggest maybe that the staff kind of review them and see if they may be applicable to our service area.
Mm-hmm. I actually pulled a flyer off of from a presentation that Sherry Schneider did about a year and a half ago. Are you referencing Sherry Schneider's presentation in particular, or somebody else's? That
there were two that I suggested that we look at. Sherry Schneider's and the siblings, Meyer.
The siblings, Meyer. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay, board direction. Any concerns, ideas, any board members would like to bring up at this point? Okay, success is another agency information. Nobody's. No takers?
Did we put them all to sleep?
I guess. Yeah, I think so. That was a lot of talking. Okay, number 10, old business. Meeting schedules are attached, pages 104 to 107 for the DDB and the MHB. Regarding MHB input, they are meeting tonight, correct, to do some of the same things we did today? They won't approve all of their applications today. They're doing them all tonight? I thought they broke them in half.
They've also been asked by UCP to reconsider the staff recommendation, so they may they may choose to defer as you have done. But otherwise, they they will try to make all of the recommendations or to make all of their decisions this evening and to address this interfund transfer issue.
Okay. Staff report. There's just one this month from Chris. Any comments, Chris? Okay. Board announcements? I have nothing further. Anybody else? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.